It's Friday, December 6th. I'm Jane Costin, and this is What a Day, the show that just found out that Hulu will be streaming every episode of Law & Order starting December 16th. On a related note, I will be unavailable from December 16th onwards until I finish watching every episode of Law & Order. On today's show, Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy take Capitol Hill, and we get into Georgian politics, the country, not the state. Let's get into it. There are only 2 weeks left for the 118th Congress to legislate. In the new year, many members won't return, and a new Republican Congress will be sworn in on January 3rd. These final few weeks of Biden's presidency are what we call the lame duck session, or in this case, the doomsday countdown till Trump 2.0. This is the time of year when the House and Senate are hyper-focused on the national budget. Lawmakers need to pass a federal spending package to prevent a government shutdown. There's also the defense budget they need to approve. Oh, and they need to decide how much money to set aside for disaster relief after a rough year of natural disasters. No big deal. There's a lot to worry about when time is running out. But here's the thing. There's still time. Senate Dems can roll up their sleeves right now to make these next 4 years not so bad. Democrats have already said they're ready to confirm as many of Biden's judicial nominees as possible before they lose power. These are the federal judges that serve for life. They've confirmed 221 of them over the past 4 years. Democrats can also propose a number of executive orders to combat Trump's policy proposals. They can expedite applications for citizenship to protect migrants from deportation, for example. They can spend every cent of funding that Congress authorized for progressive measures like the Inflation Reduction Act. So I wanted to know more about what's on Democrats' to-do list. So I called up Democratic Senator Jackie Rosen of Nevada. She won re-election last month. Senator Rosen, welcome back to What a Day.
Well, thank you for having me. It's always great to be on with you.
Congratulations on winning re-election.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a tough one, but we pulled it through.
Yeah. Trump won your state, but you beat your opponent by like 1.65 percentage points. And something I also find interesting is that you outran Vice President Harris by nearly 5%. What does that tell you about voters and what their priorities were at the ballot box?
Well, I don't know. I think there'll be a lot of pundits who look at all the data across every state and see what the turnout was. But what I can tell you for me and the way that I govern, you have to listen to people and give them not what you think they need, but what they actually need. Because of that, I've traveled all around the state, me and my team, over the last 6 years, listening and delivering. And because of that, I'm one of the most bipartisan, effective, and independent senators, helping deliver results for Nevada and then fighting back against anyone, whether it was Trump or Biden, who wanted to hurt Nevada families. I think that showed through at the end.
So what are you and your colleagues focused on getting done in these last few weeks before Trump's back in the White House?
Well, like I said, it is a great question because he's been telegraphing, of course, all through the election cycle, he's been telegraphing exactly what he's going to do. First of all, maybe mass deportations. So President Biden, he can do some things now before he leaves office to protect folks, our DACA recipients, our TPS holders. We have so many in Nevada. And then we think about the other things he wants to do. He wants to repeal the Affordable Care Act. Can you imagine that you go back to a time when you could be denied insurance for a pre-existing condition? No person I have ever met wants to go back to that nightmare. We have to figure out how we can block what he might try to do, because that's going to hurt real people. So we have to figure out how we can block that repeal. And of course, most of all, he wants to give tax cuts to the ultra-wealthy, the billionaire donors and friends that he has. And the real bottom line is that real people need us. Real people need those tax cuts. Real people need the Affordable Care Act. Real people need lower prices at the grocery store and the gas pump. We have to think about what we can do proactively, or whatever he does, we have to be prepared for it. And that's what we're thinking. That's what I'm thinking about now anyway.
You were a congresswoman during Trump's first presidency. You've done this dance before, but this time around, we're looking down the barrel of a Republican trifecta and a conservative Supreme Court. Looking back on your experience, what should Democratic strategy be going into the next 4 years? What can the party do even without the majority?
We do have the mechanisms, particularly in the Senate, of how we can block things, how we can put our own types of legislation in, how we can force votes or stop votes from happening. We also can prepare for the midterm and try to be sure that we change elections, whether it's in our local, state, or federal level. We can work on that. But overall, what I want to think, and particularly for me, Life is all about relationships. We know that. I don't care what area you work in, whether it's communications, politics, you work in a restaurant. It's all about the people you work with and the relationships you build and if you respect them and trust them. So for me, I have a lot of relationships on both sides of the aisle. Not everything is a hot button issue. Up in Reno, Nevada, we're going to get a new VA hospital. We asked for it. The president put it in his budget. There's going to be a lot of things that we can do in the healthcare space and for our veterans. I can find people on the other side of the aisle that are willing to work on that with me. That's just one example when we think about some of those things. And I'm going to continue to build on that and try to get done what I can.
And looking forward past Inauguration Day, Trump has nominated quite a few, how best to put this, interesting people for his administration that have to be confirmed by the Senate. I have to ask, how are you preparing for those hearings? And what questions do you have for these nominees?
Well, let's just put it this way. That's how I'm going to say it. Some of these nominees, like you said, are not the most qualified individuals. They're just loyal to Donald Trump. That's their only qualification. They are not serious people. And so we're going to talk about our Department of Defense, our intelligence community. And why am I going to bring that up first? I can tell you that the men, women, their families who serve this country, take an oath to the Constitution. We owe them a responsibility to take care of them because they are keeping us free. And anyone who takes that job, they need to be loyal and take an oath to the Constitution and to be sure that they are up to this task. It is serious. The scope, scale, and responsibility of these cabinet positions, it matters. So what are we doing to prepare? I'm calling for what they say regular order. People talk about this all the time. It's Washington speak. What does it mean? It means they need to do regular business. If you want this job, you go for an FBI check. We make sure that you don't have any skeletons in your closet somebody can blackmail you for. Then you come to the committee, you tell them why you want this job and how you're going to move forward in it, and you're not afraid to answer those questions, whatever side they're from. You need to come and present yourself, and then we can take that vote. Some of these, not clearly qualified. Others, we're going to see how it all falls out. They owe it to the American people to show who they are, what they're going to do, and their qualifications to do some of the most important work, sacred work, in this country.
Senator Rosen, as always, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you. I will come back anytime. There's so many things to talk about. I just really appreciate your time. Thank you.
That was my conversation with Nevada Senator Jackie Rosen. It's easy to think that there's nothing we can do these next 4 years without a majority in any branch of government. But the way I see it, Republicans have been waiting for this moment for 4 years. They've been in the wings preparing to regain power. And despite all of their infighting and clear and present loathing some members have for others, they're ready. The wait for our turn will be agonizing, but we have to look at things this way until we get another shot at this thing in the 2026 midterms. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure to subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads.
If you missed some of your favorite Crooked Pods this week, don't worry. You can now catch up on the week's best moments on MS Now on Saturday nights. MS Now is streaming an episode of highlights from your favorite Crooked Pods, packing as much analysis, funny moments, and 100% correct opinions into 40 minutes as humanly possible. Crooked on MS Now airs every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
This is Julian Edelman from Games with Names. As a fellow dude, do you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling in your butt? That's because you're probably using the dry stuff to wipe. Wet, extra-large, flushable dude wipes get what toilet paper leaves behind in your behind. You wouldn't clean the tail end of your truck with dry paper towels, so why would you wipe with dry toilet paper? Wetter just cleans better. With Dude Wipes, there are no more dingleberries, no more itch and irritation, just a deep, down-the-seam, confident clean. Plus, unlike baby wipes, Dude Wipes are extra big for adult hands. You're not a baby, so keep them on hand so you get nothing on your hands. And speaking of on hand, Dude Wipes come in different scents and pack sizes, including a single-use on-the-go pack that you can take anywhere for that home field advantage. Stop being an a-hole to your b-hole. Drop the toilet paper. Available on Amazon and major retailers nationwide. Dude Wipes, best clean, pants down.
This is Rob Gronkowski from Dudes on Dudes with Gronk and Jules. And talk about a perfect partnership. I'm here to tell you about protecting your end zone with Dude Wipes. If you're still wiping with toilet paper, you need to listen up. Dude Wipes are a wet, extra large, flushable wipe that leave nothing behind in your behind. Because they are wet, and we all know wetter cleans better. Unlike dry wiping with toilet paper, Dude Wipes clear instead of smear. Goodbye, dingleberries. Goodbye, itch and irritation. Plus, if you take Gronk-sized grumpies, or as I like to call them, Gronkies, baby wipes won't do. You need extra big Dude Wipes to handle the job. And they come in different scents and pack sizes, including a single-use, on-the-go pack that you can take wherever you go for that home field advantage. So don't fumble the ball with toilet paper. Stop being an a-hole to your b-hole and start using Dude Wipes. Available on Amazon and major retailers nationwide. Dude Wipes, best clean, pants down.
And now the news.
Headlines.
Elon and Vivek talked about having a naughty list and a nice list for members of Congress and senators and how we vote and how we're spending the American people's money.
Georgia Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene was fangirling on Thursday when Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy visited Capitol Hill. The bros are the co-chairs of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and they presented their plan to make broad government cuts. A reminder, it's not a real department. But here's House Speaker Mike Johnson welcoming them with open arms.
The taxpayers deserve better. They deserve a more responsive government, a more efficient government.
And we have a clearer idea of what they want to cut. Musk told Politico he wants to eliminate all credits, including the $7,500 tax break for people who buy electric vehicles. I know that doesn't make sense from a guy who owns Tesla, but in a tweet last summer, he said he didn't think cutting it would hurt his company that much. Musk and Ramaswamy had several meetings where they pitched their plan to cut $2 trillion of the federal budget. Chair of the new DOGE caucus, Senator Joni Ernst, told Fox News some of the cuts will come from getting rid of empty offices or cracking down on telework.
Federal employees, you need to earn the right to telework. So what are we going to do? We're going to track your productivity and your activity if you are teleworking.
Musk and Ramaswamy wrote in a Wall Street Journal op-ed in November that they're, quote, prepared for the onslaught. The Republican House majority is set to get even smaller in the next Congress. Late Tuesday, the last House race was finally decided. In California's Central Valley, incumbent Republican John Duarte conceded to Democrat Adam Gray. The flip means House Republicans will hold just a 5-seat lead over Democrats. So if all members are present, Republicans could only afford to lose 2 people on a party-line vote and still pass legislation. But at the very beginning of the new year, the Republican majority will be even smaller. In fact, it will tie the smallest House majority in American history. That's because Republicans will be down 3 members. 2 are likely headed to White House jobs. And Florida's Matt Gaetz resigned. That means House Speaker Mike Johnson won't be able to lose a single vote until those vacancies are filled. Speaking to reporters Wednesday, Johnson downplayed the tightrope that Republicans will have to walk.
So, yes, do the math. We have nothing to spare.
Johnson said he expects the 3 vacancies to be filled by spring during special elections. All are in strong Republican districts, and maybe with Gaetz gone, Johnson will have some marginally better luck keeping his caucus in line. Still, we've said it before, and we'll say it again. Johnson has the worst job in Washington. Syrian opposition forces captured the city of Hama on Thursday, a major victory in their fight against President Bashar al-Assad. People in the city celebrated outside Hama's central prison, where rebel forces released political prisoners. Hama sits at a major intersection between Syria's different regions and puts the rebels in a strategic position to advance towards Damascus, the capital. In just over a week, the rebel offensive has taken control of 2 of Syria's largest cities, as well as a major military airport. The capture of Hama is also symbolically important. Over 40 years ago, Bashar al-Assad's father, who was president at the time, destroyed the city and killed or disappeared as many as 40,000 people. The city has long been an epicenter of protests and resistance against Assad's regime. The Memphis Police Department discriminates against and violates the constitutional rights of the city's residents. That's according to a Justice Department report out Thursday. The investigation started about a year and a half ago after Memphis police officers violently beat Tyree Nichols during a routine traffic stop. Nichols died 3 days later. The report is full of shocking details. Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark told reporters that the investigation found Memphis police regularly stop and search people illegally and discriminate against Black people as well as people with behavioral health disabilities.
Furthermore, we are also concerned that MPD officers unnecessarily escalate encounters with some of the most vulnerable members of this community, its children.
Often a report like this results in what's called a consent decree, or a deal between the local and federal government to monitor and reform police departments. But the city said it won't negotiate a consent decree until it has a chance to challenge the report. Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis pushed back and said her department has already changed over 700 of their policies in the last 3 years. Maybe that's not enough, C.J. Maybe it's not enough. And that's the news. One more thing. Georgia! No, not the state, the country. For the last week, the nation's capital city of Tbilisi has been rocked by protests. The nation's ruling party, Georgian Dream, announced last week that it was scrapping the country's efforts to join the European Union for at least the next 4 years. That's despite the fact that the Georgian constitution requires government officials work towards EU membership, and 80% of Georgians support joining the organization. More than 300 people have been arrested. And on Wednesday, members of opposition parties standing up to Georgian Dream faced physical attacks from police. The head of one opposition party, Nika Veremia, was carried out of his party's office by police. He was reportedly beaten unconscious while in detention. But Georgian Prime Minister Irakli Kobakhidze said that the crackdown was necessary to, quote, completely eradicate liberal fascism in Georgia. The protests follow weeks of turmoil after the country's October elections, in which Georgian Dream declared victory while the opposition cried foul over potential irregularities. But this all didn't start there. Back in 2022, Georgian Dream pushed through a draconian anti-LGBT law that outlaws any form of civil unions for LGBT people and equates homosexuality with incest. And the party supported another law that limited the freedom of the press. In June of this year, the United States sanctioned Georgian Dream officials for undermining democracy. The big elephant in the room, or bear, more accurately, is Russia. While it's not clear whether Georgian Dream is working under Russian influence, it's very clear that the party is taking inspiration from the Kremlin, from its anti-LGBT law to its increasingly anti-American rhetoric. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky sanctioned Georgia's prime minister for, quote, handing Georgia over to Putin. The protests are going to keep happening, no matter how much Georgia's prime minister says that protesters are falling for lies while looking stern and mad on TV. Because while the Georgian government wants to get closer to Russia, the Georgian people don't. Before we go, John Lovett is out with a fever this week, but the only prescription is more Louis Vertel. Don't miss this week's Love It or Leave It with guests Bruce Valanche and Raven Simone. This week, they're breaking down the biggest and dumbest stories in politics and culture. New episodes of Love It or Leave It drop every Saturday. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, send me the House report on Matt Gaetz because I love mess, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading and not just about whatever is in the House report about Matt Gaetz because, again, let me be clear, I love mess. Like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and I'm a mess appreciator. So send me that report. I know one of you has it. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producer is Raven Yamamoto. Our producer is Michelle Eloy. We had production help today from Tyler Hill, Johanna Case, Joseph Dutra, Greg Walters, and Julia Clare. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our executive producer is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka.
If you missed some of your favorite Crooked Pods this week, don't worry. You can now catch up on the week's best moments on MS Now on Saturday nights. MS Now is streaming an episode of highlights from your favorite Crooked Pods, packing as much analysis, funny moments, and 100% correct opinions into 40 minutes as humanly possible. Crooked on MS Now airs every Saturday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
This is Julian Edelman from Games with Names. As a fellow dude, do you ever get that not-so-fresh feeling in your butt? That's because you're probably using the dry stuff to wipe. Wet, extra-large, flushable dude wipes get what toilet paper leaves behind in your behind. You wouldn't clean the tail end of your truck with dry paper towels, so why would you wipe with dry toilet paper? Wetter just cleans better. There are no more dingleberries, no more itch and irritation, just a deep, down-the-seam, confident clean. So don't fumble the ball with toilet paper. Stop being an a-hole to your b-hole. Drop the toilet paper. Available on Amazon and major retailers nationwide. Dude wipes, best clean, pants down.
There's a fire inside you you can't ignore. Stand still, not a chance. You're a lifelong learner who's come this far. Now, we're here to help you keep going further. Capella University, what can't you do? Visit capella.edu to learn more.